We are continuing tonight in the lessons on big little words. Our approach will be a bit different in that we will stay mainly in the passage that was read instead of looking at a lot of verses, although we will relate to some other verses as we look at the lesson tonight. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about the little word all, A-L-L. You may have noticed that we had that word in our songs tonight. Jason did a good job in selecting songs that use the word all. The word all is a word that is used in most of the places where we'll notice tonight as an adjective. It is used in one of the places that we'll notice tonight as a noun and can also be used as an adverb. We probably use it more as an adjective in our conversations and in our writings to describe a noun or a pronoun, especially to describe a noun. I want you to see in the first place how important a little word like this is as I read two or three verses and leave the word all out. Verse 19, though I be free from men, and really men is not in the original language. If you left all in that out, it'd say, though I be free, yet have I made myself servant. In verse 22, I am made things to men that I might by means win some. In verse 25, I am temperate in things. Now let me go back and read it with the word all in it. I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You see how this little three-letter word sheds some light on the context and emphasizes the point that is being made in each of these cases. The word all means the entirety of whatever is being considered. It may not always mean everything that exists in the world. For example, I can remember very well many times when our children were growing up, four of them in number, that I would ask Judy sometimes, are all the children home? And she would say yes. I understood we were discussing four. I certainly did not think that she was answering that all the children in the world were at our house, but all that was under discussion at that time. And sometimes when we're talking about a certain subject and we understand that subject and someone says, have you done all? Suppose a teacher said to the student, have you done all? And it would be understood that they were talking about all the requirements for that particular course. So the word all, an inclusive word, is a word that means everything that's involved in the discussion that is before us. And we're looking at it in that way tonight. It's helpful, I think, for us to understand the context of the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's in an area where Paul is, to some extent, coming to his own defense. He is defending the fact that he is an apostle and that he is to be accepted for what he is teaching. And in the latter part of the chapter, he talks about the way he has gone about his work in preaching the gospel as a part of his defense. You will notice at least three times in the passage that was read that he talks about preaching the gospel. Look at verse 16. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And then later on at verse 23, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. What he's talking about is what he is doing. What his work is for the gospel's sake, to get the gospel out to people. Now going back to our little word all, let's look at six places where the word is used and a seventh where it's indicated in a negative way to see if we can understand a little bit more about the purpose that Paul had and I think at the same time help us to understand some of the challenges that are before us, especially as we think in terms of the campaign that is before us and now reaching out into the community and our mission work and doing everything that we can to save people. First, look at verse 19. Two of the points are in this verse. First, he says, I be free from all men. I am free from all. I understand Paul to be saying in that passage that he is not bound by the authority of any man to do what he is doing or to make a decision to do or not to do something. In Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul had said, when I became a Christian and I started preaching the gospel, I did not confer with flesh and blood to see what I ought to preach. And I did not go up to Jerusalem and talk with some of the apostles up there to see what I ought to preach. He said, what I am preaching, I have received it directly from God. This is God's message. And so he says, I am not bound by any men. I'm not bound by a man or by a group of men to tell me what to preach and to tell me what not to preach. My message is God's message. He is not bound at all. He says, I am free from all when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. Now let me hasten to add here that Paul certainly was not belittling the authority of leadership within the congregation. Paul is one who even tells us about the authority of elders. He is the one who met with elders on occasions to talk with them about their leadership. And certainly he had respect for the eldership and for where God had placed authority, but that's God's authority coming through men. He's simply saying, I'm not doing anything that I'm doing to please a man or just to please a man. And I do not have to get my authority to preach the gospel from any man because I am free from all. I'm thankful that that's the case today. Judy and I passed a building earlier this week or this last week in Middle Tennessee that said the national headquarters of, and then it mentioned a religious denomination. She commented about it as we passed, and I thought, I'm thankful that we don't have any national headquarters. I'm thankful that I do not have to go to some meeting somewhere or check with someone in national headquarters to see what the going thing is as far as preaching is concerned, or to see what we believe today or what we're supposed to believe and teach tomorrow. You may have read in the newspapers recently about some of the new things that are coming out, even a new catechism. And new things are being suggested. And here are man-made doctrines and man-made creeds that are being brought out. And there is a push to be sure that those who preach and teach under the umbrella of that will pay attention to it. Aren't you thankful that our only headquarters are in heaven? And that though we are to be guided by the authority of the leaders even within the congregation, that even there, their authority comes from God and their leadership is to lead us in serving God? I don't know what it would be like to try to preach, to try to go somewhere to conduct a gospel meeting. If I had to check with some man or some group of men to see what is to be preached, Paul said, and I'm thankful we can say that with him today, we are free from all men. We are accountable to God to preach the gospel. That's what he's talking about. Not to preach man-made organizations or man-made creeds or man-made doctrines. I am free from all. But then he turns around and says something that almost sounds like a contradiction. Perhaps it's literally a paradox. He says, though I am free from all, I have made myself servant to all. I have made myself servant to all. Willingly, freely. Not bound by some decree, but he says, I have willingly, by choice, made myself servant to all. When I read that, I think of what he said in Romans 1. I am debtor to the Jew and to the Greek. So as much as in me is to preach the gospel to the people even in other places, I am debtor. He says, I have made myself servant to all. He could say, you see, I'm not bound by anyone. Nobody can bind me and tell me I have to do these things, but I have willingly made myself servant to all. It's not surprising that he's the one who wrote Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's not surprising that when he was talking about the grace of God in Titus 2:11 and 12, he says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And he went ahead and talked about all that was involved with God's grace. But he understood that the opportunity of salvation was to be to all, and especially that he himself was to become a servant unto all. I would that all of us could learn that lesson tonight. Though we are not bound, and in the sense that we sometimes hear it, we don't have to do certain things. Christianity is the idea of making ourselves servants by choice, becoming servants to all people. All people, the household of faith and others too, doing good unto all. And I think that's what Paul was saying here. I'm not bound to anybody except God. but I have freely made myself servant to everybody. And if we had time to go and read all those lists where he talks about how he suffered and his persecutions and all the things that he did, shipwreck and so on, in order to preach the gospel and to help others, we would understand what he meant. He considered himself as a gospel preacher to be a servant unto all, not just a few select people, but unto all. Kevin brought out a point this morning in his lesson about our helping those that are less fortunate. Certainly we do not overlook anyone, but especially those that are less fortunate. This is the attitude Paul had. I have made myself a servant unto all. Then a little bit later, this time in verse 22, he says, I am made all things. Well, this may be another way of saying I've become a servant to all, but it seems that there is a little bit more involved in that. One of the versions that translates this said, I have made myself to be involved with people in all the things that we have in common. I've made myself to be as much like every other person as I can. The church is different. We as Christians are different. But we do not necessarily have to emphasize our difference to the extent of overlooking the things that we have in common with people. Look at how Paul dealt with the Jews. Even as they were, some of them still keeping the law, he went back and tried to have everything in common with them that he could in order to become their friend and in order to teach them. When he was dealing with the Gentiles, when he was dealing with any type of person, he tried to develop everything that was in common so that he could be a friend to them. Now, he did not mean by that he was going to compromise God's word, because he says in Acts 20 and 27, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He uses the word all there in another sense to emphasize the completeness of God's word. And he certainly was not suggesting that there be any compromise whatsoever when it came to the teaching of God's word. But he was saying, I am going to be all things. I'm going to look for those ways that I can work with people and those areas where I have something in common with people so that I can get to them and get to their heart and teach them the gospel. That's the subject before us. And then as that statement continues, not only does he say, I've made myself all things, or I've become all things, but I've become all things to all men. And really the translation there should be, I've become all things to all, to everybody. Isn't Paul the one who said in Galatians 3 that in Christ there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile? Each one's just as important as the other. And passages that we've already noticed tonight emphasize the idea of the oneness of people and the importance of people. I got a call last night late. In fact, after I'd already gone to bed, from a friend of mine who's preaching in East Tennessee in a very, very difficult place. Some of the members are not supporting him as he really needs moral support. And they were talking to him, and they said, in the 5 years you've been here, we've only had 5 baptisms. And he said, I have on paper 17 that have been baptized. And he said, I mentioned one of them in particular, a very poor woman who's rearing some of her grandchildren, who has to be given a ride to church and helped in many other ways. And one of the men said, you know, she doesn't count. I almost broke out in a sweat just listening to him say that over the phone. He went ahead to say, isn't she a soul just as much as anybody else? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying about somebody like that, she doesn't count? Oh, there are distinct responsibilities that men have that women do not. There are some differences, and that's a subject for another time. But as far as the soul's sake is concerned and the opportunity of salvation is concerned, there's not a bit of difference in a man or a woman, an older person, a younger person, black, white, nationality, whatever it is. And I don't believe there's ever been a person on this earth that realized that any better than Paul did, unless it was Jesus, who prayed that they all may be one as thou art and I in thee, that they may be one as we are in each other, basically in John 17, 20 and 21. Paul said, I've become all things to all people. And folks, when we go out in a campaign, when we go out day by day in this community, it doesn't make any difference which street it is, which house it is, how big the house is, who lives there, what the background is. When we're talking about a person, we're talking about a soul. And Paul was emphasizing that. He said, I'm interested in all people, without exception. And then he says, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means Could not the word method be substituted there without doing any damage to the passage? He said, I am going to use all means to win some. In Acts the 20th chapter, verse 20, he said, I have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul proclaimed the gospel to large crowds and converted people to Christ. Paul preached the gospel from house to house. And especially in Rome, even in Caesar's household, evidently took advantage of the time that when he was a prisoner to preach in Caesar's household. We know at least he did in Acts 16 to the Philippian jailer. Paul said, I'm willing to use all means. One of the means was being in prison at midnight singing and praying. And with the events, having the opportunity to catch the attention of this jailer and then to teach him. Another means was simply to go down by the seashore on a Saturday morning and find a woman, and really several women together, Lydia and others, and teach her the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at the different means and methods that Paul used. The Bible teaches us that we must be willing to use every method. Even Jude says, some you've got to bring with compassion, some you've got to snatch them out, as it were, out of the fire. He says, I'm willing to use all means, whatever that is. And I want to underscore that, and I want you to keep it in the back of your mind for the next several months. As we're talking about some of our activities and some of our expansion and ways, I want you to think about that. I'm willing to use all means to save some. We've got to look at the setting. We've got to look where we are. Some of the things that Paul used in his time might not be exactly the method that will work for us today. I talk with preachers in other parts of the world, and they talk about how they're going about bringing souls to Christ, and it may not be exactly what would work here. What works with us may not work there. Now remember again, not changing the plan, not changing the gospel. Paul emphasized in so many ways, God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. He's not changing that at all. In Galatians 3:26 and 27, just before he talks about all one in Christ, he says, we're all children of God through faith, and we're all to be baptized and put on Christ. He's not compromising. He's not changing the plan. He realizes that Jesus died once for all in the Hebrew letter, and we think probably he wrote that letter, Hebrews 10, verses 9 and 10. But he's willing to use any means that he can, not to violate Scripture, not to violate moral principles. But within the boundary of God's Word, I believe Paul would have been willing, and I don't think this would have come up, but I think he would have been willing to stand on his head if by doing that he could have gotten someone to listen to him preach the gospel. He said, I'm going to use all means. And then the word some that's used in that verse is sort of the opposite of all. He said, I realize we're not going to save all. We're going to save some. Not all, but some. And as I read that, I sort of see him saying, if I can just save one person, if I can just bring one soul to Christ, it'll be worth it all. I'm willing to become all things to all men and use all means if I can just save some. Even though it may be few, and there are passages, as we'll see 2 weeks from tonight, that emphasize the few. He says, I'm not going to save all. He realized that. But he was willing to put forth every effort that he could to try to save some. And then he sort of makes a personal note in verse 25 and expands on it in the next two verses. He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I checked several versions on this just to see how it was translated. And at least one, maybe two or three, talk about it from the standpoint of self-control. He said, a person who's going to win this race is going to be able to control himself in all things. Now, he goes ahead in the next few verses and shows that he's especially talking about his own body. He says, I buffet my body, and I always like to read that buffet. I buffet my body, or I bring it into subjection, so that after I've taught others, I won't become a castaway. He said, I've got to be temperate. And when you take that all things, he also knew that he had to be temperate in his mind, that he had to control his thoughts, and he had to control his words. And there are passages where he speaks about words that would show that. He says, I've got to be temperate. I've got to have self-control in all things. I am free from all men. Paul was not bound by any earthly person or group of people. but he's going to preach the gospel that belonged to God. But he said, though that's true, I have become servant unto all. I have made myself servant. And he believed, as Jesus said, that that's where the greatness was. He said, I have become all things. I will try to have things in common, whether it's a Jew or a Gentile, as much as I can, to all people, that I might by all means, realizing I won't save all, I also realize that I've got to have control of myself in all things in order to preach the gospel and to give all people an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. I believe this little three-letter word, A-L-L, makes all the difference in the world in our understanding of this passage. And it emphasizes how we must give our all in every way to, with Paul, use all the means that we have to preach that one set gospel. That was his purpose. Three times he says, I'm talking about the gospel's sake. I'm talking about getting the gospel out to people. But I'm willing to become all things to all men that I might by all means win some. I submit to you that that needs to be a pattern for our marching orders in the work that we're doing. And when Paul was talking about this, he perhaps had specific people in mind, but he had the entire world in mind also, even those that would come after him, even those of us that are here tonight. And he would be saying through this, I want to do everything I can and leave this message in such a way that it'll help some of you to come to Jesus Christ. Not all of us in this auditorium tonight are Christians. If the end of the world would come today, I think you would agree with me, and we're not trying to be judgmental, that perhaps all of us would not be ready to go to heaven. And yet Jesus died for all, and Paul was preaching for all, and he was praying for all, and he was wanting all to be saved, and so are we. The gospel he's talking about here includes the facts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The gospel includes the opportunity for us to obey the form of that death, burial, and resurrection. If you need to obey that form tonight in coming as a penitent sinner to confess Christ and be buried with him in baptism, or if you need to come back and be restored, just remember, God is judge of all. Romans 14. We shall all meet God in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5. And Jesus said, come unto me all, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His invitation is to all. If you need to respond, come as together. We stand and sing.